Good morning and welcome to Food Talk. I'm Marianne Myers and I am joined, as always, by my fabulous co-host, Linda Perkins. Good morning, Linda.
Good morning, Marianne. Happy Labor Day.
Oh my gosh, it is.
I got my labor apron on.
Is that your special labor
apron? My labrun.
Because it doesn't say Labor Day to me. Nice apron, though.
Stripes, like if you're in the workhouse.
Yeah, maybe that's it. Maybe that's it.
I guess I wasn't really thinking. I was on autopilot a little this morning.
Oh my gosh. Oh, not like the other mornings, as far as I'm concerned. I'm
so productive usually. That's what I sound like when I lie.
Well, it's feeling very fall today.
Yeah, I'm kind of surprised.
It's cool and cloudy and drizzly, very familiar weather for us, but yeah. Not quite ready for it yet, I guess. Not that it matters.
Yeah. Well, the corn got good finally, and then also peaches and nectarines are so good, and that's so summery, you know what I mean?
Yes, absolutely.
So I'm kind of... Yeah. Surprise. Somebody just rolled into the parking lot like they were just going to go over the cliff. Woohoo! We were both distracted for a second. That was some unusual driving.
Brakes. Yes. Oh my gosh. So it's a holiday.
Yep.
Do you do anything? Is it something you observe Labor Day?
No, you know, we don't we don't have that giant clan of family around here in this area to do like a big picnic, you know?
Yeah.
But I am going to barbecue. I love to grill, and any excuse to do it makes me happy. But it's not very Labor Day. I'm going to make fancy tacos, you know, when I make them with flat iron steak. I slice up flat iron steak, and I think that's really good.
And you use naan.
Yes. Instead of
tortillas
or taco shells, I use naan. And I put that on the grill, too, to get it really hot and soft. And I think that's good. And I make a bunch of salsas. I make your mango salsa, which is essentially fresh mangoes. And I found a good ripe mango and lime and cilantro and red onions. What am I forgetting? Oh, jalapeno.
Yeah.
And then and your corn salsa, which is essentially corn and avocado.
Yeah.
And cilantro.
And some chili.
Yep.
Yeah.
And but I made some peach salsa that was really good. It was equal parts peach and tomato. And then it called for a serrano pepper. Jalapeno in this house. And shallots and lime, cilantro, a little bit of honey if the peach isn't perfect, but man, my peach was perfect. So that's a lot like your mango salsa.
Yeah, and it sounds delicious.
Yeah.
But just peach. Do you not like serrano chilies, or do you?
They're just too hot for me.
Oh, okay.
That's all.
I like them very much, and I like them for their flavor, but I also like them for their size, because jalapenos now, all the jalapenos are on steroids.
I mean, jalapenos.
Yeah, really, they're huge.
Yeah, they really are.
What the heck?
And my experience is, you know how, and I count four times in my life, I've gotten that ridiculously hot jalapeno.
Oh, yeah.
That's so much hotter than a habanero. You know, it's just some freak. And it's always been a really big one, you know. So I'm always like looking for the smallest ones, hoping that I don't like die from the experience.
Ay. Hey, you know what? Pledge Drive's coming up. And next time you and I sit in this studio together, it will be the last day of Pledge Drive, which starts on the 10th, a week from Tuesday.
Yeah, and I think are we on the 16th, Monday?
Yes.
Yeah, and that's the last day. And so
yeah,
we're responsible for getting all that's left.
I know. So I just want to take a minute to let Food Talk listeners know that we're going to do what we usually do for Pledge Drive and have a drawing for some really nice cookbooks. And I brought them today, and I was looking through them. They're out of my library, but they are beautiful, and I only pick ones that I really like that have not had gravy spilled on them. So so they're pristine. But we're going to be giving away Cook Like a Rockstar by Anne Burrell, and it is one of my favorites. I love her sensibilities about food.
She's such an intuitive cook, and she's so good. I remember when she was on Top Chef, and she was Mario Batali's sous chef, and she would just whip stuff out.
She's a machine.
Like pasta, whatever he wanted, lobster, whatever he wanted, she'd just, and it'd be so good. Yeah, and he'd win.
Yeah, I know. And he'd win.
Yeah, she was like Ginger Rogers, you know, dancing backwards in heels.
Well, I also have Good Fish by Becky Selinger. And you have
I have
this,
that one too, yeah. It's a good book.
It is a good book. It is sustainable seafood recipes from the Pacific Coast. So it's got it's beautiful, and it has got a lot of great ideas for things that we have right here.
Yeah.
So that's very cool. And then the third one is off the menu, which is staff meals from America's Top Restaurants. And it's really fun. First of all, there's some really cool recipes in it, but it also goes by city and the restaurant that they contacted and a recipe for their staff meal.
I've heard that's a really good book.
Yeah, it is.
And so it's like when they cook for their employees, they're not going to make, you know, boxed macaroni and cheese, but they're not going to make their 3-star Michelin stuff.
That's right.
But they know how to make things taste good that are fast. And what do we want? We want things that taste good that are fast.
Yes, really. Absolutely. That's exactly what we want.
Yes.
And also, staff meals are famous for using up something that needs to be used up, which is another thing that as home cooks we're faced with constantly.
Yeah, and also not expensive things.
Yeah. So it's a good one. Yeah. I've cooked from all three of these, but I haven't sullied any of them. And they are going to be, as always, when you call in or log in with your pledge of support during Pledge Drive, if you do that during Food Talk, you will be entered into a drawing and get a cookbook if you win.
So, woohoo!
Yeah, there'll be three winners.
Winners.
And since we only have 7 listeners, the odds are excellent. So
almost 50%.
You can make a note on your calendar that the 16th is not only the last day of Pledge Drive, and if you have managed to not get around to it by then, it'll be a good reminder. And also, it's Pledge Drive Food Talk, and there's prizes.
Yay!
There's prizes.
I love prizes.
We can't just tape a cookbook under a random seat in the house and, you know, whoever's sitting there wins. We have
to. Get a cookbook, and you get a cookbook, and you get a cookbook. We're so generous.
Yeah, right. Everyone gets a car.
Woohoo!
Anyway, don't miss Pledge Drive. It's the greatest show on earth for a whole week, and everybody will be hauling out their best radio chops to entertain you and inspire you. So, starting on the 10th, a week from tomorrow.
Yep. Are you doing anything for Labor Day? Are you cooking anything? Okay.
Well, I mean,
you have to cook something.
I'm feeding my husband, but I am not doing anything special. Although I was saying to you before the show that I think I have a chunk of salmon. I think I'll do something with it.
Yeah, you could just stick a little toothpick flag in it and call it a holiday.
Yeah, that would be good. That would be good. Or pull out a union card and garnish with it. I don't know. I don't have a plan. Have a plan.
That's okay. Salmon's a plan.
Yeah.
That's plan enough.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. I made some fried rice last night, and I put too much soy sauce on it. I'm such an idiot. So, you know, I have the little teeny tiny soy sauce container like they have in a restaurant, you know, that dribbles out either side.
Uh-huh.
But I have the big, like, I don't know, maybe it's 1/2 gallon, maybe it's 3/8 gallon, I don't know, that I buy at the restaurant supply store.
Yeah.
And it's got a hole in the top about as big as if you make an okay sign with your finger. And that's what I fill my little teeny tiny thing with, right? Well, anyway, I already had the little teeny tiny thing on the table. The table was set. So when I was making the rice, I used the great gargantuan
tub.
It was pretty sad. Anyway, I didn't know what to do. And also, my rice was already subpar because I didn't realize I didn't have any ginger. But then I thought, okay, it's too salty, sweet, you know, might fix it a little. And I had a little bit of teriyaki sauce that I'd made in the fridge, and it had a lot of ginger in it. So then it kind of killed two birds with one stone.
Oh, yeah.
So I put some teriyaki sauce in there, and it made it palatable, which is really all I ever strive for these days.
Oh, gosh. Well, I don't know. I'm thinking home cooked and palatable. Woo-hoo! Is fine and dandy.
Yeah, yeah.
Really. And every once in a while, we get inspired and hit it out of the park.
Yeah.
But that is not something you do two or three meals a day every day.
No.
Do you listening out there? If you do, stop it.
You're making us look bad.
Really? Gosh.
I made some lentil soup.
Oh, yum.
You know, I like lentil soup, and I want to have a lentil soup that I love, but I've just never found it.
I like it, too. I like mediocre lentil soup, but frankly, that's all I've ever had made.
Yeah, I know. So there was nothing inspiring about it. I had high hopes for the recipe, but it was just lentil soup, and everything is always just lentil soup, and I would love something that I would go, oh, this is so good, you know?
Yeah.
But I've never found a lentil soup. Curry lentil soup, yeah. But I've never found just a lentil soup where I go, oh, this is so good. And I'm old enough that I should have found one by now, you know? I mean, I've tried and tried and tried, but nothing was wrong with it. It just wasn't memorable. It was just, and I think a lot of it is how lentil soup just looks like slop and gruel no matter what you do.
Yeah.
It's just so ugly.
Yeah, it is. And you know, I put carrots in it and I try to give it a little spark of color, maybe some red bell pepper.
Mm-hmm.
Basically putting little tiny spots of color in it just calls attention to the fact that it's mostly dreary.
Yeah, yeah. Yes. It's just such a bad color. So I think that's a lot of it.
Yeah. But that would be, that's a good challenge. To think about, the other thing I think it needs is spicing up.
You know, I was thinking about that because Dale, he likes spice, but spice doesn't agree with him.
Uh-huh.
And so I don't make things really spicy. And I think that might be one way to like make it not so bleh.
Uh-huh. That's true. But we are going into soup season, so we might have lots of opportunity to figure out something brilliant about lentil soup. We are going into soup season. Oh,
woohoo!
It's like, no, I'm not going to eat a single other root vegetable until, you know, for at least 30 days because I know what's going to happen.
That's nice that you have potatoes at the farmer market, but I'm not going to buy them. Not in the summer.
No more. Oh, because we'll have plenty later. We will have so many varieties of winter squash.
You know, I'm trying to up my pastry game.
Yeah.
So I needed a specific pastry ring. So it's like a pan without a bottom on it, you know,
uh-huh.
And you put it on a flat thing, a tray, and it works. So I needed a very specific one for like the volume of a flan that I wanted to make. Flans are all the rage in Europe right now, darling, don't you know?
No, I don't.
Oh, yeah. Well, they are. Anyway, so I wanted this very specific. It was like 16 by, oh, come on, Linda. I'm just going to make up numbers if I told you, so I'm not going to. Anyway, I needed this very specific ring, and I couldn't find it. But then, so in the regular places that I shop, so I just put it into the machine, and there's a restaurant supply company that came up, and they had it. Okay, so it was a lot of money, $26. That's just a lot of money for a ring of steel.
It doesn't even have a bottom.
It doesn't even have a bottom. So I put it in my cart, but when I put it in my cart, it was $17.
Oh.
And I thought that was really weird. Also, they had a picture of a pastry ring, but underneath it said this might not be representative of the actual pastry ring.
Oh, geez.
And that's weird too, right? So then, thank God, I went back into the Google and I Googled reviews for that restaurant supply place, and it's fake.
Oh,
it had 1.5 stars on Yelp. That's not very many, right? And then everybody said, okay, so you're going to order this and then you're going to pay for it and it's going to come out of your account. And then they're going to call you and say that it didn't go through, even though on your end it says it went through. And then they want you to wire money. That's right. Wire money to their personal checking account. And then they're going to tell you that didn't go through. And they're just going to see how many times they can get you to pay for it, and they're never going to send it. And I'm just like, oh, I'm so sorry. All these times I've called the internet a liar, you know?
Yeah.
I feel so bad that I've disparaged her name. Because she saved my patootie.
Oh, my gosh.
So, anyway, a fake restaurant supply place. Who knew?
What an... What an obscure idea for a scam.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, really, actually, no, because people
lot of the people who were mad had ordered refrigerators.
Oh, my
gosh. You know, big refrigeration units because they were a good price.
Yeah, of course. Marked down. 50% off. Holy cow. Hey, quickly, I'm reminding you that Food Talk is a co-production of KMUN Community Radio and North Coast Food Web, and that you should absolutely check out KMUN.org and NorthCoastFoodWeb.org. And you know why. Just do it. They're always being kept up to date.
There's a lot of good information.
Yeah, there's a lot of good information. Yeah. Absolutely. You know, I have no memory. Oh, I wonder what foods we should eat for our memory.
Oh,
I know there's some old wives thing.
I know, like gnawing on ginkgo biloba leaves or something. Yeah, yeah. But it's never pleasant, the things that they never recommend, like Hershey bars.
No, I know. Something we could not only enjoy, but we would remember to eat. Hey, but it does remind me when you said ginkgo biloba leaves, I was like, oh, that's it. Not specifically ginkgo biloba, but leaves, yeah. Which I have a metric ton of in my car right now.
Leaves?
Italian bay leaves.
Oh, really?
Yes. Thank you so much, Diane, a longtime listener and KMUN supporter who brought me really... not a whole bushel, just a peck of cuttings off a very large Italian bay tree that she has, that she planted some 15 years ago.
Wow.
And from a baby, and it's very happy now. And I'm going to do a start in a pot, and you might want some. I brought them with me in case
you
want
some. Yes, yes.
And the other thing, before I pass the rest of this on, I did a little research, and apparently freezing whole fresh bay leaves results in really good bay leaves for your food.
Really?
And you put
'cause
them
I have
on...
so much freezer space.
I know. But, you know, once you do flash freeze them on a pan,
yeah.
And then once they're frozen, you can put them in a pretty small container,
yeah, yeah.
Or a Ziploc or, yeah, whatever you're going to do, and just pull them out as you need them. But that really intrigues me, because to buy a package of fresh bay leaves, I almost never get through them before they're all, you know, I never eat them all, use them, mm-hmm, all before they're starting to go off. So I think this whole freezing thing is a great idea. And now I have a lot of bay
leaves. Okay, right on.
Yeah.
That was really nice. For bay leaves got really expensive. Like they just like shot up many times in price. I don't know, maybe 6 years ago.
It's so...
it was like they tripled.
Quick, yeah.
Yeah.
Produce. It's quixotic.
Do you remember, speaking of prices, do you remember how it might have even been last time we were on the air, for sure within a month, when I'm like, the sky is falling, vanilla's going extinct,
yeah,
it's going to be so expensive.
Yeah.
Well, it dropped like 20% in price.
Don't take investing advice
but
from
not
Linda.
Before I bought 24 pints.
What?
Isn't that the stupidest thing?
Well, they're good forever, aren't they? As long as you don't open them.
So just so you know, my batting average, when vanilla originally started going up, like that's like 9 years ago, then I was right. And then the maple syrup thing, nothing happened.
Yeah.
And then the vanilla thing again, then I was completely wrong. So I'm like 1-1-1.
Well, you're devolving.
Yes, yes. I just didn't think about how over time I was devolving. I was just thinking I was absolutely, like, you know, mediocre, right in the middle.
Oh my God.
1-0, -1. Anyway, so the lesson to take away from that is just don't even listen to me. They should just shut my microphone off when I talk.
We'd be straining to hear you. So
dropped 20%. Oh my gosh. Lowest price in 9 years.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. So, see,
I actually
need
some vanilla.
Even though before, when I was like, the sky is falling, go buy some vanilla. Now it's like, it's cheaper than it's been in 9 years. Go buy some vanilla.
So your advice remains the same. Go,
oh, I know,
go buy
I know.
Some
see,
vanilla.
I wasn't wrong.
It's not the advice. It's the reasoning. So,
yeah.
Well, it's still, although the weather is betraying us these few days, we still have some sunny weather coming up, and it still is harvest season, mm-hmm. and there still is a lot of summer stuff going on.
Yeah.
So that's very cool, and we've waited a long time for corn and peaches, yes. all stone fruits in general.
Well, and I got a hilarious tomato at the farmer's market. I made BLTs, and it stuck out all four sides.
Oh, my gosh.
It was delicious. It was a very, very good tomato. I like those striped ones the best.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So there's like the brandywine, those are good, but this is one of those yellow and red striped ones.
Yeah,
and
I love those.
It was so good. But it was just like, it was like Thor, the tomato. It was just enough that I don't really take pictures of food, but I took pictures of it because it was, you know, just like me trying to squeeze in a size 12 or something, just spilling out all over. It was really, really something. That was a very pleasant surprise.
It is really, really tomato season for sure.
Yeah. I made some Greek food.
You did?
Yep. I really like doing that. I grill pork tenderloin that I've marinated in, garlic and lemon juice and olive oil and a whole bunch of Greek spices, salt, stuff like that. And then I make the naan bread on the grill, and then I make some tzatziki and I make hummus. I generally make baba ganoush, but this time I grilled those little baby Japanese eggplants. I sliced them in half the long way.
I love those.
Yeah, you just brush them with oil right before you grill them, because otherwise they just soak up the oil and it's gone someplace internally. And then they're just delicious. They get really soft on the grill. And then I made some tabbouleh, and I normally make I normally make tabbouleh. It's just like a thing I do in my sleep, you know. You just you pour some boiling water on some bulgur wheat, and then you add spices and parsley and onions and cucumbers and tomatoes, and it turns out just fine. But there must have been something wrong with my bulgur, because it just never got soft. It was just hard and crunchy. I mean, it was awful tabbouleh. It was truly tragic tabbouleh.
Wow.
And then, so even letting it sit overnight, it just never really took. And so because it didn't absorb the water, then it was way too watery, the tabbouleh. And then it was like way too chewy. Aww. And it was sad. It's like that one time. Aww. I made split pea and ham soup with split peas that were too old. And I mean, I cooked it for 7 hours and those peas never got soft.
I've done that with dried beans before that were, you know,
just too old. Yeah.
From the war.
And so, I didn't know that could happen with bulgur, but I think that that's probably what it was.
Uh-huh.
So that was
it's
sad.
You know, it's so hugely discouraging to have an ingredient go wrong at the beginning of a recipe and then to continue to add the ingredients,
yes.
hoping it will get better.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and then with peas, they don't get soft to the end, and the bulgur wheat doesn't get soft to the end. How would you know? You know?
Yeah, exactly. You wouldn't. I was thinking when you were talking about a tomato, I was thinking about two salads that I ran across recently that sounded like something I would really want to try, and I haven't had a chance to try them yet. But one of them is a Melissa Clark
recipe. Her recipes are so good. They always turn out.
Yeah, they do. And it's a tomato watermelon salad with anchovy breadcrumbs.
Oh, nice.
And I originally saved it because I wanted to be reminded of anchovy breadcrumbs, because it's not something I've done before, but that would be good on everything. And and tomato and watermelon right now, that's the way to go, I think, right now, for sure. And the other is a tomato and peach.
Well, that sounds like that salsa.
I'm sorry. It's a peach, cucumber, and mozzarella salad with gochujang vinaigrette.
That sounds really good.
That sounds really good. And that's a Hedy Louie McKinnon, who is the queen of vegetarian things.
I've never heard of her.
Oh, she's fabulous. So anyway, fresh salads to use stone fruits and tomatoes quick while we got them.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and they're good. It was just up until now, melons have been so watery, and same thing with the corn, but I think it's all finally turning good.
It's just a late onset summer.
Yeah, late onset.
Although, you know, well, I mean, for the Northwest.
Yeah.
The rest of I imagine that the East Coast has been eating ripe melon for months because it's been so hot there.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I got some new spoons.
You
Does
did?
That sound exciting to you? Because it was exciting for me. I have.
Was it?
I have a favorite spoon.
And this is not a tableware spoon.
No, it's like a serving spoon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like when
you have a favorite.
Yes. And so it's one that, I mean, I've had for probably 35 years. It's from a Chinese restaurant I worked back in the 80s. And I just loved it. And I had one, and then I had two, and then lost one. I'm like, ugh. So then I just looked all the words on the back, you know, up on the internet, and found them and bought them. And I'm just so happy I have eight now.
Ooh.
It's, I know, it's just so great. I'm just like,
permission to lose them at
will. I know. I'm like spoon rich.
Oh, I know the feeling, though. I have favorite. I have some favorites in the kitchen that there's just no explaining why I love them so much.
Yeah.
But that's the way it is. Yeah. If you go to the same thing and use it all the time because that's the one you like, then yeah. I have a favorite knife that is not a favorite actual cooking knife.
Okay.
That is not the most expensive knife or theoretically the nicest, mm-hmm. the best knife that I have, but it's my favorite.
Yeah.
And it holds an edge, and it sharpens up like brand new or better than new. And I was having a panic attack when I couldn't find it the other day. And I was like, I got to get another one of those just in case.
Yes, yeah.
And I just get them at the, it's a brand that they actually carry at restaurant supply places as well as probably everywhere else.
Because oh, nice.
It's not, they're made by, I can't remember the name of the brand, but they're made by the Swiss Army Knife people.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. and they have a plastic handle.
But that's so good for dishwashing.
It's fabulous. Yeah. I love it. And it doesn't weigh a, you know, my, Wusthof knives are heavy.
Yeah. They're good knives, but, yeah. but you have to work out, you know, to.
Yeah. And you have to work hard to keep them sharp.
Yeah.
So, yeah. No offense to the German people who make a fine knife, but
yes.
I really do like these Swiss knives. They make great chocolate and great watches and great knives.
Aww.
Yeah. Thanks. Thanks, you Swiss people. And I guess cheese, huh?
Yes.
Really good cheese.
I saw a cute little thing on the internet. They had bread bakers come in, you know, with a loaf of bread, and then they sat them down and forced them to watch somebody turning it into a bread bowl for soup.
Oh, my gosh.
What a strange twist on cruelty. Oh, why am I laughing? Because bread is hard, you know?
Yeah.
It seems like it's so easy, and you can make bread, you know, that's easy, but just to get it exactly how you want it, man, it takes time and experimentation because everything matters. The temperature of your house, the bowl, you know, what.
Where you live.
Yeah, the humidity, the weather. I mean, my bread that I make, I have such a different recipe for winter and summer. I mean, that's silly, but it just, it's how it has to be.
I would suggest. That there are such better things to do than hollow out bread and put soup in it.
I know.
Whoever eats the bread.
I know, and then they're throwing away all the good part of the bread, and it was just it was just such a strange twist on a prank, you know?
Yeah.
That,
oh, it's a dirty trick.
Yeah.
It really is. Hey, we are perilously close to out of time. Parting thoughts.
Well, it's so sad, except now everybody gets to listen to John Stevenson.
Who is here, ready to give us a couple of hours of great music. So,
spoiler, he was the one that almost drove off the cliff.
but he didn't because...
He lived.
He knows where the cliff is. So anyway, John Stevenson is the antidote to our bad attitude about Mondays.
Yes.
He is. And he's here. You want to sing us out, Linda?
I'm driving my vegetables. I'm driving my green edibles. I'm driving my vegetables around. I'm driving my broccoli. I'm driving my cauliflower. Driving a bushel of corn home. Woo, we only had a few seconds left. You didn't think I could do it that fast, did you?
Thanks, Linda.
Bye.